Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful that you are everything that we could ever need and more. And because of your love and because of your fatherly care for us, we need not fear any circumstance that we might face in life, but we can put our trust and confidence in you, knowing, Lord, that you are in control and that all things are working together for good because we love you and you've called us according to your purposes. And so, Lord, we ask that our hearts would be open to the Word of God, that as you instruct us out of your word today, we might receive, Lord, that faith and that hope and that strength that comes from knowing that you are God and knowing that you love us and knowing that you are in control. And so we look now, Lord, to the word. Minister to us through the word. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. We are continuing our journey through the Bible, and it has brought us this week to the book of Esther, chapters 4 through 6. And we're looking forward to the service this evening as Pastor John ministers to us and gives to us sort of a commentary on chapters 4 through 6, the book of Esther. This morning, I'd like to draw your attention to the fourth chapter and verse 16. A decree has been signed by the king of Persia that on a certain day, all of the Jews within the entire kingdom are to be slain. This decree, having been signed by the king, cannot be changed or altered according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians. And thus, the Jews are threatened with extermination. Now, Queen Esther is a Jew, however, her nationality has not yet been revealed. But her cousin has sent a message to her, encouraging her to go into her husband, the king, and to plead for her people. She sent a message back and she said, according to the protocol, you just can't go in at any time into his presence. There are two guards that stand by him, and if someone should come into the room uninvited, they are immediately killed by the guards unless the king raises to them the golden scepter that is in his hand. Mordecai, her cousin, sent a message back and said, if this decree goes through, don't think that just because you're in the palace, you will escape. And if you fail at this time, God will raise up the deliverance for his people from another area, but you will lose the chance of being God's instrument to bring deliverance to his people. And how do you know but what that God has not raised you up for such a time as this? God's purposes are going to be accomplished, but you know, God so often gives to us that wonderful privilege of being the instruments through which he does accomplish his purpose. And that's exactly what her cousin is saying to you. God is going to work. He's going to keep his purposes, but you can be the instrument through which he does work. So in verse 16, Esther sends the message back to her cousin. And she says, gather the people, the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days or nights. And I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Esther has made a commitment, a total commitment of her life, to do what she has been called upon to do. If it costs me my life, I'll do it. If I perish, I perish. Jesus often calls on us not to worry. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. And yet, there are many Christians who do worry about tomorrow. Throughout the Bible, we are encouraged not to be anxious for anything. And yet, there are many Christians who are anxious about many things. The scripture tells us that we're not to fear. And yet, there are many Christians who are fearful of the circumstances that they are facing, fearful of so many things in life. And yet, God does not want us to be worried. He doesn't want us to live in anxiety. He doesn't want us to fear. Our story today is the story of a beautiful young girl who conquered worry, anxiety, and fear. The story of Esther. God had brought her to this very special moment in her life. That moment when God was going to use her as his instrument to bring deliverance to his people. It seems like the whole purpose of Esther's life is focused on this one moment. Everything that has transpired in her life up to this point has been bringing her to this very point where God is going to use her in the accomplishing of his purpose and plan. All of the past experiences will soon be understood in the light of this moment. As we shared last week concerning Esther, all of the things that had transpired up to this point were ordained by God to bring her to this point. God had created her with great physical beauty. But God took her parents when she was just a young child. They both of them died. And so she was raised by her cousin, Mordecai. God had caused the previous queen to rebel against a command of her husband and thus be deposed. God had then allowed her to be entered into the beauty contest where the king was to pick out a new queen that would rule over the kingdom with him. God had given to Esther favor in the eyes of King Xerxes, and he took her as his bride. Unbeknown to her, God had been behind the scenes, and all of these things have been ordained by God to bring her to this place and to this position where she could be used by God to bring the deliverance to her people. The time has now come where the will of God is to be unveiled, and we're going to understand all of the things that have transpired to this point by what God is going to do. Satan has hatched a plot to destroy all of the Jews. He is trying to thwart God's plan of redemption for the world. God had promised to Abraham that from his seed, or one of his descendants, would salvation come. That from Abraham would come the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior of the world. Now the Jews are being threatened. Satan is wanting to wipe out every Jew in order to thwart God's plan of redemption by killing off all of the Jews, all of the descendants of Abraham, so that there would be no Redeemer that could come from Abraham's seed. That is the enemy's desire. The decree has been signed and sealed by the king's signet ring. It's gone out to all of the provinces that on this particular date, every Jew in all of the world were to be slain by the neighbors around them or by anybody who wants to. There was an incentive in killing them because whoever killed a Jew could then take possession of his house or all of the things that he had. There was great mourning throughout all of the Persian Empire when this decree was read to the people. This is when Mordecai sent to Esther the urgent plea that she go in to the king. Though you cannot cancel the decree, the hope of creating another decree that would sort of override this decree, which was to give the Jews the opportunity to defend themselves from those that would seek to kill them. And so it's now been given to Esther to go in and to intercede for the people. She was asked by her cousin at the risk of her own life to do this. And she consented, and she declared, "If I perish, I perish." This was a commitment of her life, fully and completely, to do what God had called her to do at this point. "It may cost me my life, but I'll do it. And if I perish, I perish." You know, as long as we are struggling to control the circumstances of our lives, if we want things and insist on things going our way, we'll never have real peace. There will always be a struggle. There will always be turmoil. I can be worried silly about the what ifs when I'm wanting my own way to be done. What if this happens? What if they fail to come through? What if I should get sick? What if I should lose my job? What if? What if? And these what ifs can drive you to mental distraction. Worried about the possibilities of what could possibly happen if I step out to do what God would have me to do. What if the king doesn't hold up the golden scepter? What if the guards pounce upon me and kill me? These are the things that Esther had to take into consideration. And this is when she came to the place of, "I'll do it. And if I perish, I perish." But when you come to that place of surrender to the will of God and commitment, "I'll do it," then you become free from the worry and the anxiety. "The worst thing that can happen to me is they'll kill me. But if they do that, I'll be with the Lord, so that's not too bad." And with our lives, we so often are concerned because we hold our lives dear to ourselves and we think, what will happen if and when and all. But how we need to just say, Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I just commit the issues totally to you. Lord, I'm not going to worry about this anymore. I'm going to let you take care of this for me, Lord. Because I am your child. You are concerned with me and you do watch over me. And I'm just going to let you, Lord, take care of this situation for me. When we were living in Huntington Beach many years ago, we had a dear godly saint in our church. She was in her 90s and had walked with the Lord for all of her life. Was so rich in experiences and in her relationship with the Lord. And God had given to her a tremendous gift of encouragement. And I would often go over and visit her when I felt a little discouraged. Because I would always come away just rejoicing and filled with real peace and a knowledge that God's going to take care of it. And in this gift of encouragement, it was just in saying, God has not vacated the throne. God is still on the throne and he is still in control of things. Now, I had a tendency to forget that. You know, when problems would arise, I think, oh, what are we going to do? And I'd go over and talk to her and say, well, Charles, God's still on the throne. He's still in control. He's going to take care of it. And you don't have to worry about that. And what an encouragement that would be. And I would go home just encouraged and say, well, so, you know, it could all fail, but God's on the throne. And, you know, whatever, he's going to take care of it. Whatever comes, he's allowed it to come. And so I would learn to just accept that. And I'm so glad I learned that early in the ministry. I had many more worries in that little church of 100 people than I have now. I don't worry anymore. God's on the throne. He's going to take care of it. He's in control. I can't do anything about it if I wanted to. And so I've just learned to just cast all of my cares upon him because he cares for me. And he tells me to do that. And he tells you to do that. Trying to handle the problems that arise can drive you crazy. It's good to know that it's his church. He's able to take care of any problem that might arise. I don't have to worry about it. You know, they used to sing a song, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Isn't it interesting that most of our worries are about tomorrow? You know, I really don't worry too much about today. I'm here, and I've got money for lunch. So, you know, God's taking care of me up to this. But next week, you know, what's going to happen? You know, how are we going to do this? And how are we going to pay for that? And it's always, it seems, about tomorrow that we worry because we the Lord's brought us to today. But it's the tomorrows. And that's, I think, why Jesus tells us not to worry about tomorrow. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. For God will take care of tomorrow also. In Luke 12, Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat, or about your body, what you're going to wear. For your life is more than just food, and your body is more than just clothes. Now consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They do not have barns to store their food, and yet your Father feeds them. And you are worth much more to him than the birds. Can you, by worry, add 1 hour to your life? And if by worrying you're not able to do such a small thing as that, why worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. they neither toil nor spin. And yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they. And if God will so clothe the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is burned in the oven, how much more will he clothe you? Do not worry about what you're going to eat or drink, for the pagans worry about these things. Your Father knows that you need these things. But if you will just seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, he will give you all of these things. Do not be afraid, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. The words of Jesus concerning worry or fear or anxiety. Know that your Father knows all about you. He knows all of your needs. And your Father is so gracious, he feeds the birds. They're not his children, yet he feeds them. How much more will he feed you? He clothes the fields with great beauty, the wildflowers. If he clothes them with such great beauty, how much more will he clothe you, his child? The Bible tells us that if we are afraid, we have not been perfected in his love. The reason why I fear is because I really don't realize just how much God does love me. If I knew how completely God loved me, I could not fear about what might happen to me, because my Father is in control of my life and every circumstance that surrounds me, and he's going to take care of me. He's going to watch over me. I need not fear. As long as God is on the throne, I don't have to fear. And the day God vacates the throne, we're all in big trouble. You might as well forget it because it's over. During World War II, when the Japanese had bombed Pearl Harbor and they had taken the Philippines, and we were really being pressed, the Battle of Midway and the other battles that were taking place on the Pacific Islands. And in Europe, Hitler had marched through Europe and had conquered the nations, and it seemed like there was no halting of his juggernaut. Here in America, we were singing a chorus. When things look pretty dark, what though wars may come, with marching feet and beat of the drum, for I have Christ in my heart. What though nations rage as we approach the end of the age, I have Christ in my heart. God is still on the throne. Almighty God is he. And he cares for his own through all eternity. So then, come what may, whatever it is, I always say, I have Christ in my heart. For I have Christ in my heart. How fully have you committed your life and your ways to the Lord? Are you willing to trust him completely for the outcome of the events in your life? For that thing that has caused you so much worry? For that thing that has brought fear into your... Are you willing today to just turn that over to him and let him take care of it? Can you say, well, the Lord's will be done. And if I perish, I perish. If this is the worst thing that can happen to me, the loss of life, if I lose my life, I'll be with him. You know, Paul the Apostle was on his way to Jerusalem. He had stopped by the house of Philip there in Caesarea. And a prophet came down and took Paul's girdle, tied himself up with it. And he said, the man that owns this girdle is going to be tied like this when he gets to Jerusalem. He's going to be arrested. And this was a warning that Paul had been receiving all the way to Jerusalem. The friends that were there in Caesarea began to weep and began to beg Paul, oh, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. And Paul said, what do you mean by these tears? Don't you realize that I'm not afraid of being bound in Jerusalem? In fact, I'm ready to die for Christ in Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that he didn't count his life dear to himself. My life belongs to the Lord. Paul's sort of philosophy or outlook on life was, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He wrote that to the Philippians because he told them of, he actually had mixed emotions. He said, I find myself in this strait between two. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, I feel that you still need me, and so for your sake, I need to stick around a while. But his real desire was to be with the Lord. So what can they do? How can they harm me? If they kill me, if I perish, I perish. But I'm then with the Lord in his eternal kingdom. And thus Paul could face whatever problem that might arise in the future, whether it be imprisonment, whether it be torture, no matter what it is, I belong to the Lord. And the worst thing they can do is kill me, and I'm ready for that, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's interesting to me that we are often willing and ready to commit to the Lord our eternal destiny. I'm trusting the Lord to take me into heaven when I die. If I can trust the Lord for my eternal destiny, why can't I trust him for tomorrow? Why am I somehow worried that he can't take care of me tomorrow? He can't take care of this problem that I'm presently facing. Why should I worry over these kind of things when I've said, well, yes, I believe the Lord's going to, you know, take me to heaven. I have trust in the Lord for my eternity. You know, it's going to be with him. Well, if you can trust him for your eternal welfare, surely you should be able to trust him for whatever you might be facing tomorrow, next week, next month. What are the things that are causing you to worry today? Or what are the things that you are fearful of? What are the issues that have created anxiety in your heart? Are you willing to just turn those over to him right now? He wants you to. The Bible says, cast all of your cares upon him because he cares for you. That heavy burden that you've been carrying around, are you willing to just say, okay, Lord, I've carried it as far as I can. You take it from here and just turn it over to him. The situations, whatever they might be, are you willing right now to just say, Lord, you take over with this. You work this out according to your purpose, because what you do is best. And I'm just going to leave this now with you, Lord. I'm not going to worry about this anymore. I'm not going to fret over this any longer. Lord, it's in your hands. You take over. He has promised that he would take care of us completely. And I would suggest that rather than you continuing to beg him to help you, that you start thanking him for helping you. Because you have his word that he will. You have his word that he'll take care of it. You have his word that all of the things that will happen will be for good. The ultimate intent of God is for your good. And are you willing to just say, okay, Lord, it's in your hands. You take care of it. Thank you, Lord, for watching over me. Thank you, Lord, for providing for me. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of this problem that is almost driven me to distraction. Lord, thank you for handling these issues. You see, you have the promise that he will. And if you will get to that place where rather than begging or asking God to do it for you, you'll begin to thank him for doing it for you, you'll discover that you've learned an important lesson of faith. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible tells us concerning Abraham that he did not stagger at the promises of God. God has given to you exceeding rich and precious promises. Abraham did not stagger at God's promises, but being strong in the faith, it said, he gave glory to God. In other words, he was giving thanks to God before there was ever any evidence of the fulfillment of the promise. I have God's word. I'm standing upon the word of God, the promises of God. And thus, God's going to take care of it. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of this situation. Thank you, Lord, for working out your good purpose in this. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. And though you may not yet see how God is going to do it, or you may not yet see the hand of God in deliverance, learning to thank him just because he has promised and given his word to you that he will. That's what faith is all about. And that's the kind of faith that dispels the fears. That's the kind of faith that causes anxiety to flee. That is the kind of faith that delivers you from worry. Because God is on the throne. He is watching over you. You're his child. He knows your needs. And he's going to take care of every situation that you might ever encounter. Can you trust him? The moment you do, the moment you commit fully to him and say, well, okay, Lord, all yours. If I perish, I perish. You'll find that you can rest. You'll find a deep peace within. The Bible tells us that, you know, you're not perfected in love if you're still fearing. But now you will be perfected. You'll say, well, Lord, you love me. I love you. That's all that really matters. You take care of it. And however you take care of it, Lord, fine with me. I'm just trusting you because I'm your child. Let's pray. Father, what a wonderful position we have as children of God. And that we can, Lord, just take all of these issues of life that are so troubling, that create such anxiety. All of these cares, and Lord, we can just cast them over unto you, knowing that you care for us. And so, Lord, today I pray that you'll set people free. Free from worry. Free from fear. Free from anxiety. Free from the concerns about tomorrow. And Lord, help us to just be thankful people for all that you've done. Thankful people for all that you have assured us you're going to do, because you love us and you're our Heavenly Father. And so may we commit now our ways fully unto you, trusting in you, that you will work out your eternal purpose and plan in and through our lives as we just commit our ways unto you through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Shall we stand? Again, are you ready and willing to just cast that care onto the Lord today? I pray that none of you will go out of this building today still carrying the worries that you brought in with you, the fears that you brought in with you. And if you go out of this building still filled with fear and anxiety, then I'll have no sympathy for you at all. Because the Lord has promised that he would lift these burdens from us. The pastors are down here at the front to help you to just cast your cares upon him. They're down here to pray for you, that you might experience the peace of God and that assurance, that blessed assurance that God is going to work, that God is going to take care of it, and to free you from that worry and concern that's keeping you awake at night. And so I would encourage you, as soon as we're dismissed, if you are plagued with worries or fears or anxieties, just come on down to the front. And here, just unload onto the Lord all of these issues that are troubling you today. And then go your way freed from these cares, rejoicing in him, thanking him for working things out, for taking over and doing for you what you could not do for yourself with all of your worry and with all your fear. And learn what it is to just rejoice in the Lord and be thankful unto him.